Good morning. This is Tracy Hales-Vass, right on Four Corners on KSJE. Today, I have the pleasure of talking again to Jeff Habiger. We've talked to him before about his books that he's co-written, but today we're going to go into the world of publishing. Good morning again, Jeff.
Good morning.
Being a writer and hobnobbing with all kinds of writers in the area, it's a constant topic of discussion. How do we get published? And it seems to me today the publishing has changed so drastically, and there's such a huge spectrum between self-publishing and the top five publishers.
I would agree with that. So
Artemisia Publishing is an independent publisher.
Correct.
What does that mean?
So we are a small independent publisher. I mean, so we follow a very much a traditional publishing model.
Mm-hmm.
We accept manuscripts from authors who are looking to get their work published, for either they're looking to work with a publisher or they just don't want to do a self-publishing route for whatever reason. We go through a process where we, you know, look at the queried material, make a decision as to whether or not the book is something that we would want to publish. We have our own kind of criteria for that. And once we make that decision, we offer a contract to the author to publish their work. And from that perspective, we're very much like one of the big five publishing houses. We do everything for the author, short of writing the book for them. And we ask them to, you know, help out with a little bit in terms of being willing to go out and do marketing, doing, you know, going to bookstores, do book events, whatever that might be. But we do all of the printing. We do the majority of the marketing, certainly all the marketing that involves paying for things, like paying for ads or whatever we may need to do. We pay for the printing of the books. So we cover pretty much all the things that the big publishing houses do. One of the things that we don't do, we do not offer advances, but we do pay authors off of a royalty for, you know, off of books that are sold.
So what other forms of publishing are out there today?
There are a lot of different forms. I mean, you mentioned self-publishing as far as the self-publishing model is one that many, many authors are using, many authors here in New Mexico, as well as just nationwide, worldwide. I mean, if you go to Amazon and start querying and looking through a lot of the books that are offered there, you're going to find your mainstream big five publisher ones, but you're also going to find a bunch of books, well-written books, by small independent authors who are doing this on their own. And so that's kind of the new paradigm, it seems to be, in the publishing industry is that self-publishing model. There's then, we mentioned already, the traditional publishing model, which is the one that we kind of follow. There is also a model out there that's kind of come about in the last few years that is often referred to as a hybrid publishing model.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, it's taking what used to be known as like a pay-to-publish model, where an author would pay a publisher a certain amount of money to get their book out there. And it's kind of taken that model and twisted it a little bit. So it's a combination of a traditional publisher, but some self-publishing aspects of it as well, where an author and a publisher will work in partnership to produce the book. Usually the publisher makes certain criteria as far as the author will agree to pay some amount or no amount, depending on what the publisher wants, for a reduction in the amount of royalties that the author may receive. So it's kind of a partnership where the author is taking on a few more of the roles that a traditional publisher may normally take on, but without having to do the entire thing themselves. And there are some industry guidelines out there for this hybrid model. It's one that if you get a bunch of authors together, you will get a major debate about it. There's a lot of very, very opinionated ideas about hybrid publishing and what it should be and what it shouldn't be. And you will run into very adamant people as far as what their feelings are about the topic.
Yes, it's so true.
Yeah, and that's good. I mean, it's good. And the biggest thing is for an author, whatever route that they want to choose to do, whether it's self-publishing, a hybrid model, doing a traditional publisher, doing even like if they wanted to still try and do, I think you can still find people that do, you know, pay to publish type vanity presses, is look at what is involved in it. Know everything ahead of time. You know, don't just jump into it thinking that, you know what's going on. Ask questions of the publisher that you're working with or you want to work with. Look at what works they have put out there already. Try and talk to their authors. It shouldn't be that hard to find their authors. You can find them on their titles and then contact them. Contact them through social media and say, what was your experience like? And find out. You know, so those are the kinds of things that, you know, any author approaching any kind of way of doing publishing these days should be trying to do.
That's a great idea, to talk to the authors. What kind of books does Artemisia publish?
So Artemisia started out publishing, you know, in a way we were kind of our own vanity press. From there, though, we started getting just through networking with folks, other writers and writing groups here in New Mexico, as well as just other places. We started, you know, connecting with other writers, and they would approach us and go, I have this book. And, you know, most of the people that you run into, they all say, I have a book idea.
Right.
But we would talk to them and find out what they were and what their ideas were. And out of that stemmed publications. Some of the first ones were books by, you're actually the former person who was running Right on Four Corners, Connie Gotch.
Mm-hmm.
Her books, we published three of her books dealing with a young dog named Belle mm-hmm. and her adventures. And that was a fun series to do. And we've done a few other young adult titles. We have an author named Rosemary Zebart, mm-hmm. who's from Santa Fe. And since then, things have just kind of grown and expanded out. We had enough young adult titles that we created our own imprint for young adult titles called Kinkajou Press. So all of our YA, early reader, children's type titles fall underneath that umbrella. We've continued to publish some nonfiction, but mostly fiction. We have historical fiction as well as mysteries that we've published, as well as then moving into my own personal favorite realm, which is science fiction, fantasy, horror mm-hmm. titles. And so that is, we have another imprint that we call Shadow Dragon Press, mm-hmm. And that's we publish those kinds of titles there. And from there, we've published, not again just myself, but I have authors that are from Canada, authors from Arizona, here in New Mexico. I'm working with some authors for newer titles that are coming out. One is from the New Jersey area, and another international author that we'll be publishing later this year from Mexico. It's kind of interesting how international we've become as far as just, we're still a very small publishing company, but, you know, it's kind of nice that I'm able to connect with all of these writers across the world to work with them and get their books out there.
What do you think draws them to you rather than other publishers?
I would like to think that, in fact, I think it's mostly that I listen to them. I'm willing to work with an author and help them get their project, their baby, essentially, out into the marketplace the way that they want it to.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that sense, I'm trying to help them along as much as I can in terms of them being able to be a self-published person through using a traditional publishing model. One of the things that, you know, if you ever go on to any kind of writing board or look at Twitter or Facebook or, you know, Google things, every now and then you'll come across a big named author. Somebody, you know, who is published through one of the big five publishers. And if you talk to them, you'll ask them questions like, how much input did you have into your cover? And they'll usually say none.
Right.
You know, how much impact did you have to your title? Was that the title that you put onto the book? Sometimes they will say, yes, that was the title that I intended. But sometimes they'll come across and go, no, they changed the title. That is a risk sometimes that you take, where if you go to that traditional model, yes, you might be able to get an advance from them, maybe a few thousand dollars or whatever, depending on what they want to do. You know, you might get some good, you know, it pushed out there to a good market. But a lot of the big-time publishers won't take the heavy risks they would with an established author, you know, so they're not going to put a huge marketing budget behind it. They're still going to depend upon you as the author to do a lot of your own marketing. And you're not going to have that kind of feedback or influence into deciding things like what is, you know, what kind of cover do I want? And that's something that I think I bring to it, where I work with the author. And a lot of times where the authors come to me, they have their work, and they'll come to me and they'll say, I already know what I want to do for the cover. Great. I have authors who come to me and go, here's the cover. This is what we want. And I go, great. You know, one, it makes my job a little bit easier.
Right.
You know, I have authors that have been working with artists. I have authors who have very specific ideas as to what they want in the cover and how it's going to look. And so they have gone out and worked with artists to do that work and to get it together. Some of them have paid out of their own pocket, which I, again, am perfectly fine for, but I'm also willing to work with them and work with an artist within my own budget and say, you know, work with the author, let's get everything designed up, here's my budget, we'll take care of the payment so the author doesn't have to deal with it. So those kinds of things. I try to be very upfront with my authors as far as my expectations. Mm-hmm. In fact, we have a section on our website under our four authors tab on our webpage that has some information, basically what our philosophy is about publishing and how we approach it. And that's a good place for anybody who might be thinking about wanting to come to us to go check it out. But those are the kinds of things that I think that I bring to it that other publishing companies may not always do, is to give that author a lot of that freedom that they may not normally have, especially with a traditionally published company.
And you also put in the advantage of doing editing for the writer?
So our process starts, you know, again, with the query. So an author will query us, and we'll take a look at it. And the query usually involves not just the query letter, but I usually ask for a couple of chapters just so I can get a feel for what the writing style is. Does it grab my attention? If I can't be grabbed, if my attention can't be grabbed within the first couple of chapters, then a reader's not going to be either, and I will probably pass on it. So that's important. So once I've agreed to something, I will then query back and say, hey, let me see the whole thing. I'm interested in the entire manuscript, so I'll get the whole manuscript from the author, and I'll read through it. And even at that point in time, though, I may come back and go, it's not something that we can do. You know, and I will try and be positive about it and give my reasoning behind it, and as well as the encouragement, but I may still pass on it. If I decided something, though, that I like, and I think that there's a potential for that title, make an offer to them to do a contract with us. If they decide to sign with us, so we sign it, then the process really starts, where I take the manuscript, I go through it in a very much a fine-tooth comb. I've been known to give out many, many, many comments to my authors on their work. And so I go through and do a first edit on it, read it very detailed, put suggestions, comments, you know, everything I can think of. I've run upwards of 600 comments plus before in a manuscript.
Wow.
Getting it back to the author.
Wow.
Not all of them are bad things. Sometimes they're snarky comments. Sometimes they're things like, this is really good, I really like this. But sometimes they're questions. Sometimes they're explanations to say, this, I'm changing this because of this reason. You know, so I try to be as detailed as I can that way so that the author really understands where I'm coming from. And also that way, I'm not trying to put my own words into the manuscript for the author. I will make suggestions to say, you might think this, this, or this doesn't work, and here's some suggestions, but they then can go through, look at it, and fix it how they need to be to keep in their own voice or their character's voice or whatever it may be. So once we've done that, we'll do a couple of back and forths usually where I'll read it, send it back, and they will then send back the manuscript again after they've made any changes or edits, and I'll go through it again and make sure that everything still looks good, and maybe I'll catch more things and send it back to them. At that point in time, though, we're usually ready to send it out to somebody to do kind of a proofread on the manuscript, so that I will send it to somebody who has an editor after their name, or at least in their business title.
Uh-huh.
And I do it mostly because, one, there's a lot of things I can catch. There's a lot of things I don't catch.
Right.
I joke that I've never met a comma that I didn't know where to put it. You know, I'm the specifics, the nitty-gritty kind of grammar has always kind of eluded me. I'm getting better. I'm seeing somebody for it. But, you know, but I depend not only on that for that perspective, but it's always good to have an extra set of eyes. As somebody who is not associated with a project, you know, the author is way too close to it.
Right.
I'm, at this point, too close to it to really see it. And so to get this, you know, a third set of eyes to look at the material and make the decisions and to go, you know, catch the errors and the problems and everything is very, very important.
Is that editor hired at your expense or the author's?
They're hired at my expense. That's something that I, as the publisher, will take on.
Okay.
And I have a couple of editors that I work with routinely who I know and who can give me good feedback, and they work fairly quickly, and that's kind of a plus for me.
Yeah.
It is very much a gamble on the author to submit their work out. It takes a lot of heart and soul and part of their body to go out and put that material out to somebody that they've never met before.
The feedback I've gotten from authors that you have published are very favorable.
Oh, well, that's good.
What's the turnaround from the catchy beginning, something that gets your interest? So from that point on, how long does it take till that book is in print?
So this is one of the areas where I differentiate myself very much from a self-published author. We have a very long period that we need to allow to get the book to market. It goes anywhere from 9 months to 12 months to try and get that. Some of that is just to have a cushion to allow for delays and things of like getting an editor to look at the material or personal issues that may come up between myself and or the author, you know, in terms of getting work done on making revisions or whatever it may be. Sometimes it may be, you know, to allow time for an artist to work on a cover. You can find artists who can work really, really fast, but you may not get really good material. You know, so
right.
I like to give them a little bit of time to work on things. At the same time, we are nationally distributed through IPG, and IPG is one of the largest independent distributors in the country, which I'm very, very happy about. They require a minimum of 6 months lead on a book, minimum, to even just get it into the system before they will have a release date for it. It's a minimum of 6 months. They prefer longer. One of the other considerations is that most review sites, the big ones, Publishers Weekly, Kirkus, Library Journal, BookPage, those sites, if you want to try and get a review in something like that that's going to be seen by book industry people, librarians, and the like, they want 4 months lead time before a release. You know, so you're talking putting either advanced reader or galley copies out ahead of time or having the book ready to go 4 months ahead of time so that you can be sending out review copies and having it ready. I take the latter route. I've only ever done galleys once. I won't do it again just because it's a cost that I don't need. So I try to get everything done so that when I talk about a 9 to 12 month lead, that means it's actually in terms of, you know, 5 to 8 months in that range,
right.
You know, depending on exactly when I'm going to put the date out, so that 4 months out, I have a finished product ready to go to reviewers. That way everything is done and ready and polished and the bow's on it. It also means that I have 4 months to start planning marketing, you know, and getting the word out about the book and working with the author on figuring out, you know, are they going to be able to travel? Are they going to, you know, what kind of events are they planning to do and get all that kind of information.
And what kind of marketing do you do?
I do what I can as much as I can for as little cost as I can get
away
with.
That's a good answer, yeah.
Marketing is a huge expense.
Yes.
It is a major kind of undertaking to be doing, and a lot of times you're never quite sure how well it's going to work. I try to get as much advanced information as I can, and so a big part of my marketing is getting those advanced reviews, trying to get the books out there to review sites. I will pay for reviews if I feel that they are going to be beneficial,
mm-hmm.
Especially if it's in a place where the review is going to go in front of you know, a fairly large audience. There's some online sites called, for example, City Book Review is one site.
Mm-hmm.
And You can pay for an expedited review through them, and the reviews go through, it goes to San Francisco, Seattle, Manhattan, New York, you know, so it's but fairly big markets, and so it's probably worth my expense to do that. But I also do free. I'll send to Publishers Weekly. They don't always review my stuff, but sometimes they do.
And, there you go.
You know, I'll send it to Kirkus as well. Again, you know, they may not pick it up and review it, and even if they do, Kirkus can be rather harsh. They're known for being a very harsh reviewer as well, and you know, but so the reviews that you get are hard earned and worth it. You know, so that's part of it. I also look at what I can do for any kind of web-based advertising that I can do. I try to do early deals at a release of a book to try and get ebook sales to generate interest in a title. So I'll do newsletter campaigns through certain sites. I may even consider doing a free release or a free download for a title for a short period of time as a promotional thing.
Mm-hmm.
I will do mailers and flyers. I've been really liking using the American Booksellers Association, and they do what they call white boxes. And every month they send a box to their top 750 members that are independent bookstores.
Oh.
And you can put pretty much anything you want in that box. I'm sure they would probably draw the line at certain things. But
I'm sure.
Anything promotional.
Yeah.
I've done entire books before as galley copies that way. It was an inexpensive undertaking, but I did it. But the biggest, the simplest thing is to do, and the most cost-effective is to do like a bookmark or a postcard that has book cover information about the book, and you stick it in there. And so it's something that the stores will see. Whether or not they act on it, I can't help that or not.
Right.
But at least I'm getting the information out there in front of them.
Right.
I will do advances on a certain title. If I think it's a really good title and something that needs to be seen, I'll pay for a short annotation, and short being the operative word is like 25 words about the book, through Ingram Advance or Baker & Taylor's. So I pay for those. You know, so I look at everything that I can, and I'm always open to new ideas to try things.
Right.
You know, so I like a lot of online-type campaigns that I can do because I get feedback. I can see how well it did.
Right. But that's huge. I think so, with so many authors, to turn that corner between creating the manuscript and marketing it, it's such a different headset that I think a lot of writers have trouble with that.
You know, I think you may have talked, and I've talked with other authors myself, and if you go online, again, to any of the social media where writing community is at, important for authors to know, especially first-time authors, once you write the book, you're not done.
Exactly,
you know,
exactly.
Your job has actually just started after
just
you've
beginning.
Gotten the book written.
Right.
Marketing and getting the word out, it's hard. It's difficult because there are so many people doing it.
Right.
That's been one of the probably, I wouldn't say a negative thing about the, you know, plethora of self-published authors that are out there, but it's just inundated. I subscribe to a couple of newsletters for places that offer like ebook discounts or, you know, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I get emails from them every day, and there's usually 3 or 4 or 5 titles in those emails, and they're usually new titles. There's a lot of people squabbling, and it's like, you know, a beach with a lot of birds on it and everything,
right.
And trying to be heard above the noise is difficult.
Right.
And so finding a good way to market your title, to establish a fan base, to get people interested in your work is hard.
It is
a very, very hard thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I applaud the ones who do it really well, and I try to learn from them.
There you go. All right.
If anybody who happens to listen to this, if they are interested, they can check out our website, and we have information there. We have a tab, like I said, for authors, and it's got information. So if anybody is interested in sending us a query, I'm always open to them. I never say no to a query. I may say no to actually publishing the work, but I never say no to a query.
Great.
You know, so they can do that. You know, and you can also see all of the different titles that we've published. We have, I think we're actually approaching 30 titles. We'll actually break 30 titles published this year. And I'm really happy about this year. We have a lot of great titles.
That's good.
That are going to be published.
This is actually
a busy year for me, and I don't know how I'm going to do it.
Yeah, there's that. Well, the main thing I think that you've said is for authors to do their research and talk to people, read over the website and the guidelines, and talk to other authors.
Yes, very, very much so. I mean, you know, talk to other authors, get their experiences, get their takes on what they like about certain things.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you very much, Tracy.
That was Jeff Habiger talking to us about publishing. This is Tracy Hales-Vass, right on Four Corners, KSGAE 90.9 FM, Farmington, New Mexico.